na ya soda. Jamuna tira vana chadi, Jamuna tira naya radha madhava. Kunja vihari jaya radha madhava. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jai, Samaveta Bhakti Vrindaki Jai Go Premanandi. All glories to the Samadabodhis, all glories to the Samadabodhis, all glories to the Samadabodhis, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Guranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutade Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane. Namaste Saraswata Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Vasachade Shatarane Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadanta Shivasudhi Gaur Bhaktarinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 2, Verse 54. Bhagavata Uru Vikram Angli Saka Nakamani Chandrikaya Nirasta Tape Pridika Tamu Pasida Tampunasa Prabhavati Chandra Ivo Diterka Tapaha.
Thank you.
Bhagavata, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Uru Vikrama, which have performed great heroic deeds, Angri, of the lotus feet, Saka, of the toes, Naka, of the nails, Mani, which are like jewels, Chandrikaya, by the moonshine, Nirastatape, when the pain has been removed, Hridi, in the hearts, Katam, how indeed, Upasidatam, of those who are worshipping, Puna, again, Sa, that pain, Prabhavati, can have its effect, Chandra, when the moon, Eva, just like, Udite, risen, Arka, of the sun, Tapa, the burning heat. Translation: how can the fire of material suffering continue to burn the hearts of those who worship the Supreme Lord? The Lord's lotus feet have performed innumerable heroic deeds, and the beautiful nails on his toes resemble valuable jewels. The effulgence emanating from those toes resembles cooling moonshine, for it instantly relieves the suffering within the heart of the pure devotees, just as the appearance of the moon's cooling light relieves the burning heat of the sun. But when the moon rises, the expansion of its rays drives away the distress of the sun's fierce heat. Of God, says lotus feet, vanquish all distress for the Lord's pure devotee. According to the Vaishnava commentators, it is to be understood from this verse that material loss exemplified by uncontrolled sexual desire is exactly like a blazing fire. The flames of this fire burn to ashes the peace and happiness of the conditioned soul who perpetually wanders in 8,400,000 species of life, vainly struggling to extinguish this intolerable fire. The pure devotees of the Lord place the Lord's cooling, jewel-like lotus feet within their hearts, and thus all the pain and suffering of material existence are extinguished. The word Uru, Vikram Angri, indicates that the Lord's lotus feet are quite heroic. Sri Krishna is famous for his incarnation as Vamana, the dwarf Brahmana, who extended his beautiful toes up to the outer limits of the universe and perforated the universal shell, thus bringing the water of the holy Ganges into the universe. Similarly, when Krishna was entering the city of Mathura to challenge the demoniac King Kamsa, and his entrance was impeded by a ferocious elephant named Kuvalayapida, Lord Krishna kicked the elephant to death and peacefully entered the city gates. Lord Krishna's lotus feet are so exalted that the Vedic literature state that the entire material manifestation rests beneath his lotus feet. Samasrataye padapalava palava mahapadam punyaso murare. Translation: how can the fire of material existence continue to burn the hearts of those who worship the Supreme Lord? The Lord's lotus feet have performed innumerable heroic deeds, and the beautiful nails on his toes resemble valuable jewels. The effulgence emanating from those nails resembles cooling moonshine, for it instantly relieves the suffering within the heart of the pure devotee, just as the appearance of the moon's cooling light relieves the burning heat of the sun. So this is now the conclusion of this whole section on defining the three types of devotees. And we had some, I think about seven verses elaborating on the Bhagavat Uttama, or the best type of devotee. So now we have a few concluding verses here. More general, but also refer to the Uttama devotee, but can also refer to those of a lesser category. So it's a general statement that worship of the Supreme Lord removes material suffering. So to emphasize that, an analogy is given, or we say comparison, and we have the sun, which represents heat and pain, as tapa indicates pain, as well as fire and heat and light, etc. So the sun is usually considered to be a little painful, because when it shines brightly, it begins to get uncomfortable for everyone. And the moon, on the other hand, is considered to be very cooling. So in the nighttime, the moon rises, and its light is different from the light of the sun. It does not burn you. It's quite different. Yeah? So this is the comparison between the material world and the Supreme Lord. Material world burns the jivas. They suffer in the material world because of their karmas and whatnot. Huh? And worship of the Lord and the Lord himself are like the moon, and they do have the opposite effect. They create, they take away the pain of the material world. They create a very pleasant atmosphere for the jivas. So, like the moon in comparison to the sun, so we have the Lord and worship of the Lord compared to the suffering in the material world. So, this is again emphasized by a poetic device, and that is the moon rays are compared to the rays emanating from the toenails of the lotus feet of the Lord. So the toes here are the sakka, and then the mani are the toenails. So they have some chandrika, which means moonlight emanating. They have rays emanating from the toenails of the Supreme Lord. So it's called moonlight because the effulgence of his toenails also relieves the suffering of the jivas in the material world, like the moonlight counteracts the sunlight, the heat of the sun. So the Lord and worship counteracts material existence. So even the light from the toenails of the Lord counteracts the suffering of the jivas in the material world. So the feet, of course, are praised here by saying that they are also Uru Vikrama Angri. His feet are heroic. Performing great deeds. So, of course, ultimately, even the light from the toenails is able to destroy the suffering of the jivas in the material world. So that's a very heroic deed on the part of the very light from the toenails. But, of course, as the purport indicates, the feet themselves are also heroic. I mean, the example is given of Trivikrama, or Vamanadev, who defeated Bali by expanding his body to cover the whole universe and then put a hole in the universe by which the Ganga flowed down. So that is, he's called, his feat is called Vikrama, or very heroic, because of that. So he's called Trivikrama. Of course, krama also means a footstep. So three footsteps, Trivikrama also. So in any case, the foot of the Lord is very heroic. And we have many other examples how he used his foot. For instance, he danced upon Kaliya with his feet. Or he here he talks about he kicked the elephant to death in front of before the wrestling match in Mathura, using his feet or whatever like that. So the Lord's feet are all worshipable
for that reason, that is, they destroy demons or they defeat demons, and therefore we can say they destroy the suffering of the material world by defeating the demons. But then the other positive side, more positive side, is that they're very beautiful, and therefore they're called lotus feet, to indicate also very soothing. So the lotus also is considered to be like the moon and very, very cooling in its effect. So the sun is very hot, but the lotus is very cooling in its effect. And of course, the lotus is also delicately shaded pink, like the lotus feet of the Lord. The lotus is very fragrant. The lotus petal is very delicate and soft, like the lotus feet of the Lord. So in this way, it describes the beauty of the feet of the Lord by talking about them as lotuses or whatever. So in any case, by its beauty and by its heroic nature, those feet are praiseworthy. But not just the feet, the toes and the toenails, and not just the toenails, but the light from the toenails also is equally soothing. So everything is absolute in the Supreme Lord. So even the light from the toenails, we can say, is heroic and attractive and beautiful, etc. Because it takes away the pains of material existence in the same way as the Lord's foot can kick the demon or conquer Bali or whatever. So even the light from the toenail of the Lord can do this. Yes. So in other words, the Supreme Lord is all merciful to the jivas in the material world, and with no effort at all, he can relieve the jivas of all their suffering. So the intelligent people will recognize the Lord and surrender to the Lord. And this is how they get relief from the pains of the material world. However, pain, getting relief from pain of the material world, is not the goal of the devotee, and it's also not the ultimate result for the devotee. So we know that kleshagni takes place from the beginning of bhakti itself. All the karmas start getting destroyed. That is one effect, but then we see later on that the ultimate effect is Sandrananda and Krishna Akarshani. Those are the two final effects of bhakti. And that is that one experiences bliss, condensed bliss, intense bliss, and one attracts Krishna. So there's a much higher result for the devotee. But even then, these are not the goals for the devotee. The devotee's goal is not to get bliss. His goal is to give bliss to Krishna. The result of that is he gets bliss, highest bliss. But that's not his goal. His goal is to please the Lord. And because he has that as his goal, he gets the highest bliss. So the two things go together. But it's not first I get my bliss and then then the Lord gets blissful. No, it's the opposite. So in other words, it's unconditional service to the Supreme Lord. That desire to serve the Lord without any condition gives rise to the bliss for the jiva. In other words, if he's in his position of being the eternal servant of the Lord, then he gets the bliss. If he's not, then that bliss will not be there. The idea of getting relief from the suffering of the material world, like the moon gives relief from the sun's heat, this is one effect of bhakti, but that's not the goal of the devotee, nor is it even the final result for the devotee, because the devotee gets more than that. He gets a great bliss in relationships to the Supreme Lord. If we end with relieving suffering, we get the goal of moksha, liberation from material world, from karma, etc. No more birth. So that is getting relief from the suffering of the material world. So we see that one of the types of devotees is one who is suffering, so he prays to the Lord, get rid of my suffering. And so the Lord can do that. He can take away all your karma and he can give you moksha also. It's possible. But that devotee is not considered to be pure devotee. He is mixed devotion. He turns into a Gyan Misra Bhakta. So, not desirable for the devotees. One can aspire for less than that and aspire for getting rid of the suffering by getting material comforts or wealth, artarti. So the Lord can also give that. But again, that is mixed bhakti. That is karma misra bhakti. So that is also not the highest stage or the purest stage. So the intelligent person will reject both of those things, relief from his suffering and gaining some material benedictions to live comfortably on the earth. Though the Lord can supply these things, and he does to devotees like Dhruva or Ambarish or whoever, nevertheless, a devotee avoids these things. So it is said that the devotee kicks away bhukti and mukti, even though they are pleading with the devotee, please let me serve you, let me serve you. But the devotee kicks them away because they're unfavorable for pure bhakti. So they are available, but devotee avoids them. So therefore, though we have a mention of here of relief from suffering, etc., we should never consider that to be the ultimate effect for the devotee. So the devotee is rather fixed in his service to the Supreme Lord. And the result is much higher than material happiness or getting relief from material suffering. The result of that is the devotee experiences ananda, but the condition is pure bhakti, and then he gets that. So that's how we have to understand these verses that talk about the relief from material suffering, etc. They are some of the effects of bhakti, but not the ultimate effect. Similarly, we saw in the previous verses that the Uttama devotee was described by being detached from material enjoyments and had no bodily identity, was not interested in his varna or his whatever learning, was not proud, etc. So these are qualities of the devotee, but these are not the main quality of the devotee, nor are they the aspiration of the devotee. His aspiration is simply to please the Lord. And the result of that is he sees everything in terms of how to serve the Lord. And then all the other qualities follow after that. So this quality of being beyond material suffering, etc., that's also this one of the byproducts of serving the Supreme Lord. So that is how we have to understand these type of verses here.
That the nails resembles cooling moonshine, instantly relieves the suffering within the heart of pure devotees. So question can arise that any devotee it can raise, any devotee can be affected by this shine of the new. Why only pure devotees mentioned? What about others? Even normal?
We are talking here about the three types of devotees, and then they talked about the Uttama devotee, etc. The verse actually doesn't say pure devotee or whatever, it just says it removes, but I assuming they're talking about the Madhyama and the Uttama rather than the Kanishta. We could say for the Uttama, obviously, because he has these qualities previously mentioned, completely beyond the material world, so therefore he's always in this position of experiencing the moonlight and not the sun, the heat of the sun or the karma of the material world. The Madhyama Adhikari, on the other hand, is not on the highest level, so therefore his experience and his vision of the Lord is not so continuous, and therefore he may be affected now and then by the problems of the material world, etc., and he may feel pain and whatever in relation to his body, etc. But nevertheless, he tolerates that because he does have some experience of the Supreme Lord. We can say it's nabas in one sense, because it's not a direct appearance of the Lord, but simply because he does bhakti, that gives him a higher taste, or a bhakti sukha. So he gets some pleasure from that service, even if it's not absolutely pure. Bhakti is able to give him some higher experience even then, and that relieves him of the problems of the material world.
Advanced devotee may not have this pain in the heart. you won't be suffering because it's always merged in the Lord's service. So this refers only to the Madhyama.
The Madhyama is the one who may experience the pains of the material world. Uttama is beyond that. His body may be affected, but he gets sick, he dies, or whatever. But he doesn't care. He's completely detached from his material body because he's got his spiritual body fully developed, and he's in his pastimes with Krishna, so he willingly gives up his body.
Mahaprabhu wanted to give benediction to Kolavacha Sridhar, Ashtamaha Siddhi, various benedictions that he offered. He rejected everything. He didn't want anything. But we see in his case, he was worshipping, offering some worship to Ganga. He was not even, at least in the scriptural, I don't remember that he was worshipping Krishna. Even by offering worship to Ganga, one gets all these benefits of by-product result of not rejecting so many things.
Oh, for worshipping Ganga. Of course, you can do that. Even by worshipping Krishna, you can get all those side effects also. So it depends on how you worship. So if you worship Ganga Devi as the servant or the devotee of the Lord, we see in, for instance, in the Nectar Devotion, I think it is concerning the first 10 Angas of Bhakti to live near the Ganga. Or Dwarka or whatever like that. So holy place. So even if you live near the Ganga, that's considered to be a tirtha for the devotee, because he takes it in a devotional sense. It's the foot water of Vishnu. So it's related to the Supreme Lord. So therefore, it's the tirtha of Vishnu. So it reminds him of the Supreme Lord. And it's the prashad of the Supreme Lord, etc. So it's like a dhamma. So one can worship the Ganga in that way as the servant of the Vaishnavi, servant of the Lord, and no problem. Of course, if we're only trying to get rid of the material pains, that's another thing. People who want liberation can go and bathe in the Ganga and do whatever also. But that's not really the desire of the devotee.
So he get to the point of...
We also see, for instance, that Advaita Acharya, he worshipped Shalagram Shila with Ganga water and Tulsi leaves. So he's using the Ganga water as the Shakti of the Lord to please the Lord. So in that sense, it becomes very Vaishnavic.
But in that sense, it's not a personal service to Radha Krishna or anything. It's just Ganga. Literally, we want to develop Krishna Prem. Mm-hmm. The ultimate goal. Whereas just worshipping Ganga, how to understand? He was not worshipping Radha Krishna,
Well, I don't know if we have so many details of if he only worshipped Ganga and no one else. I would assume he also worshipped the Supreme Lord, but that was one of his daily type of habits, to worship Ganga Devi, etc., and use his money for that. Because he was also chanting the holy name up here, I think. Yeah, he was chanting the holy name, so that was not his only activity. So he also understood the Supreme Lord and was doing that worship as well.
But again, in the context of getting rid of these material desires, now one of the principles is to read Srila Prabhupada books on the scriptures on a regular basis, and the other one is to hear from those who have assimilated all that, the servants of Prabhupada who have grasped everything. Reading all those books take a much longer duration, but hearing from them gets much more benefit in one sense. Mm. In that sense, is it better to give more attention to hearing?
To?
Hearing from those who have got Prabhupada books in Israel.
Well, I think we can't separate it, because it's like we have Sadhu, Shastra, Guru, etc. So we cannot separate the Guru from the Shastra and whatever like that. Huh? So again, we can hear, but we should also refer to the scripture and connect it. So we should do both. And I think how we cannot reject the devotees also. So we can't just read scripture, we also have to have the devotee explanation. If we only have the devotee explanation, we never read anything, then it's a little dangerous, because we can never understand where the devotee is, if he's actually quoting scripture or not. So then we have to make sure he's in line with the scripture also.
Maharaj, in the verse it is said that comparison is given, that Angri Shaka, the toenails of Lord, is like a Chandrika. Chandrika means like a moonshine, and who is Nirastatapa, who is destroy the suffering. So this only limited to the toenails of the lotus feet, or his whole body?
What's that?
that comparison is given here, that
toenails, it's the light from the toenails.
Only limited to toenails, or any other part of the body?
Well, obviously everything is brilliant and shining can do that, but just to show that even just the light from the toenail can really view the suffering, it's giving an example of that. It's limiting it, even a little, even that light can do that. We know that also an opposite type of analogy is given, that the yogis, through all of their hard sadhanas and meditation, ultimately they realize only one ray from the toenail of the Lord, which is the negative sense, that they can only realize Brahman maybe, which is like one ray from the toenail of the Lord, so they don't even get to the beauty of the Lord, but they can also relieve themselves of suffering by that. Therefore, it's to illustrate the fact that even the, not the toenail itself, but the light from the toenail has power. And if the toenail or the light has power, what to speak of the foot, or the leg, or the face, or the eyes, and much more power. Because the toe and the toenail is like on the bottom, the very bottom.
And the thing was, the nectar devotion is mentioned, that bhukti and mukti is considered like weeds in the devotional life. Mm-hmm. Like weeds. But how to understand this mukti? Because even the mukti means, if you think that, mukti means getting relieved from the suffering. So, when one is relieved from the suffering, he can serve very nicely the Supreme Lord. This is one kind of mukti.
Well, similarly, we can also use bhukti, and whatever we get, we can use it to serve the Supreme Lord also. So the devotee can use things for the Supreme Lord, but if that's his main goal, then that contaminates the bhakti.
Then why it is called as a weeds?
Yeah, because they can bewilder you, and you can get involved in them so much that you forget about the bhakti. And then you become attracted to that alone, and then you merge into Brahman.
Will not concentrate on the Lord, we will concentrate on the bhukti and mukti.
They become weeds in devotional service, and then you get attracted to the weeds, and then you forget about the bhakti.
Like relating to the toes of the Lord, the devotees, they take it as a mercy, but at the same time, if the attitude of that soul is not proper, and if it is inimical, then it becomes a thunderbolt, like destroying that.
Well, he won't even see the light from the toenails.
They'll not be able to.
No. It's just like Shishupala, he looks at Krishna, he doesn't see anything of Krishna, real Krishna. He sees some abhas, some material form. He thinks it's a material form. So they can't even see the light from the toenail, so to speak. They're covered by ignorance.
Brahma Samhita, Pantastu Koti, that verse, it's mentioned that yogis, after performing austerity for thousands and thousands of years, they can get a glimpse of the light emanating from the toenail.
Yeah.
So that means yogis also can get the effect?
Well, we can say this is like Brahman. Brahman is the effulgence of the Lord, so they get that aspect only, but it's limited to that. For the devotee, the light also, let's say the Brahman aspect will relieve him of suffering, but he relates that light to the toenail and to the foot and to the rest of his body. The yogi doesn't relate it at all. He takes it independently and then emerges in Brahman.
Daily devotees take Charanamrit, which contains the pada, argya, and abhishekam water, which flows to the Lord's lotus feet and toenails. So one can even get the benefit, the same thing by...
Well, that's why we take Charanamrita. Yeah. We're getting the mercy of the foot of the Lord, just like the Ganga is the water from Vishnu or whatever like that. So the Charanamrita is the related to the Lord's body also, and you take that, then it's mercy.
Since you mentioned the third candle, you said that Yasyaga Marshada Swari Dvaraya Padam Padam Titta Padam Prapanna. Even the Gangas also can give Krishna Prema.
If we have the right consciousness, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because obviously it's also serving the Lord. It's just like Charanamrita. Take Charanamrita, it's an act of devotion. That's part of bhakti, to drink the Charanamrita. You know, it's engaging your tongue in devotional service. So you can take Charanamrita and you get bhakti through that. So that you bathe in the Ganga or drink the Ganga water, sprinkle on your body again. It's similar. It's contact with the Supreme Lord, and it's a type of devotional service. Well, the Ganga is usually praised in scripture, but then of course we say even the Jamuna is even superior because that's where Krishna and Vrindavan contacted the Jamuna, so it's got more Raja influence in it.
And Radha Kunchapur much more.
Huh?
Radha Kunchapur is much more.
Yeah, more than that even. Radha Kund.
Also in Vrindavan Parikram part, the Lord would have walked along with the cows and calves. Those grains of dust will also have effect. Well, now yeah. The government has made a cement. Oh,
well, the whole of the Dham is, you know, non-different from the Supreme Lord. Of course, we can construct buildings and do whatever, but also that cannot really interfere with the spiritual Dham. It's only material coverings, but if we have spiritual eyes, then we can still contact our spiritual vision. We can still contact the real Dham.